Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Maynard and Edgar putting on a show.
Outstanding.
Wow.
And now, the host of the longest running fight show in radio and internet history.
It is all over. Just like that.
Pedro Fernandez.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but hardly duplicated, my name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to the longest running fight show in history. 37, make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. We come to you live, of course, Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217, and like 1,000 other internet platforms. Bottom line is, this is hour number 2 of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We'll be joined in a few minutes by the President of the World Boxing Council, Mr. WBC. I'm talking about President Mauricio Sulaiman, of course, the son of Jose Sulaiman. Don Jose will be in the house always. His spirit is here. Bottom line is, we're talking boxing and MMA if you want on the toll-free 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. You can text us here in the studio. The number, 415-275-1613. The studio text line, once again, the number, 415-275-1613. Well, guess what? We are celebrating the coronation of a star, I think. I think he is the heir apparent, possibly to greatness, if he doesn't get outsized. Of course, size matters in two things, combat sports and pornography. We're talking combat sports. I'm talking about Oscar Valdez, the former WBO 126-pound champion, stepped up to 130 pounds last night and squelched. I mean, wow, he lit up Miguel Burchell, the 3-1 favorite, like the White House Christmas tree, stopping him around 6. We'll talk about that in depth after the break. And Mauricio Sulaiman at about 22, 23 minutes past the hour. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 217.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
How does that grab
you? Well, I'll tell you right after I get violently ill.
My buddy Al Lewis, a.k.a. Grandpa Munster, had a restaurant in New York City. Used to greet people. I kid you not. The restaurant went downhill when his health sort of went downhill. But the bottom line is, he used to greet people. In fact, I knew people that went to New York City, and they would meet Grandpa Munster, and they'd send me, like, phone messages. Guess what? I met Grandpa Munster. I kid you not. So may he rest in peace. Al Lewis was his real name. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA, of course, celebrating the win of a boxing star in the future. I mean, he's a star right now, a two-division champion, but I think he may be a guy that Mexican fans might be able to get enamored with. Of course, he speaks English, very good English. Talk about Oscar Valdez, of course, a two-time Olympian with Mexico in 2008, I believe, Olympic world, I take that back, a world amateur champion as a youth. His record now, 29-0, 23 KOs. Wow, what can I say last night? He took on Miguel Burchelt, and Burchelt was supposed to be like the next coming of God at 130 pounds. He was going to knock everybody dead. In fact, the big bets were on Burchelt to win by knockout. Well, guess what? It didn't go down that way. In fact, after two knockdowns, Oscar Valdez was the WBC 130-pound champion. Props to Oscar.
He's a guy I have nothing but respect. And, you know, we said we weren't friends once we signed, and that was true. After the fight, you know, I want to go see him. I want to see him. I wish him the best. He can be the champ at 130 pounds. I think he struggled a lot to make plays, so I got nothing bad to say about him. He's a true champ. I wish him the best.
Oscar, you dominated from the first second till that knockout. What was going through your mind, round one, round two, round four, round five?
Stay focused always. He came with a good body shot. I thought I said, wow, he is hard. Every time I would hit his face, he had a strong, I felt like I was hitting a rock. We got the thing done. I listened to my father, listened to my corner, Betty Reynoso, and we got it done.
Frank, you've known him from day one, from the Olympics?
Oh, yeah.
You remember you called me and you said, hey.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. You were there. You went.
And now what do you say about him shocking the world tonight? Biggest upset since Mike Tyson and,
No.
Yes?
Come on, man.
Oscar, after the win, you went like, shh. What did you mean by that, for those who don't know?
I mean, people doubted me. People said that I wasn't going to. Boxing analysis, boxing experts, my idol said it. They all said I was going to get knocked out. And I stayed calm. I said, okay, I'm going to prove everybody wrong. There's nothing better in life than proving people wrong. And don't let nobody tell that to people. Don't let nobody tell you you can't do something. Because if you start listening to it, you might start believing in it. Always believe in yourself. Train hard. Be disciplined in life. And anything's possible. Call it out. Let the universe and ask God for whatever you want. And everything's going to be accomplished.
Before I delve into history, of course, with some time tunnel music there, I want to say this. Oscar Valdez, after the fight, you can look at the post at fightnews.com. It's all over the internet. John Johnson, of course, the coach that melted down Mike Tyson via Buster Douglas back in 1990. He talked about it in hour number one. It was the greatest photo I've seen in boxing in a long time. It brought a tear to my eye. There was the knocked out former champion sitting on a stool trying to collect his thoughts. And there was Oscar Valdez on his knees in front of him giving him props. I mean, that was the ultimate, no doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA, of course, boxing history. We've got our own house historian. His name is Grandmaster Bill O. Of course, he comes to us from South San Francisco, California, February 21st, Richmond, California. Wow, he goes back to 1910. Was he alive in 1910? I mean, Bill's old, but he ain't that old. Anyway, Abe Walgass, KO, 40 rounds, battling Nelson to win the World Lightweight Championship. That was over in Richmond, California. 1960, Fighting Harada made his pro debut in Tokyo, Japan. Of course, one of the greatest fighters in the history of that country. 1987, Carlos De Leon, one of my sparring partners. I kid you not, I did like 75 rounds with him. Actually, I was his sparring partner. He was a WBC cruiserweight champion at the time. I think that was 190 pounds was the weight limit back then. But he was getting ready for Bash Ali. He said he needed somebody fast. They got me to work with him. I think I worked a total of 75 rounds, 75 3-minute rounds with Carlos De Leon. I learned a little bit, but the bottom line was he never did anything to me. I mean, he just sort of sat back and tried to pick off my blow. So Carlos De Leon, on this day in 1987, KO4, Angelo Rotelli retains the WBC Cruiserweight title. 1987, Bobby Chess, my man. How did you blow that Showtime gig, man? DUIs. I mean, Bobby was kicking ass. He was like, he's a genius. One of those guys, I can't remember what they actually call those genius guys, but anyway, he's got a certain status to him, and yet, he was stupid enough to get popped for DUIs, not once, but twice when he was working for Showtime. I mean, you get popped the first time, get somebody to drive for you. That's what I understand. If you're making big money, you can get somebody to drive for you. That's not, anyway, bottom of the, Chez hasn't been seen since then. That was the end of his career. The end of his career, both before, in front of the mic and behind the mic. Anyway, 1987, Bobby Chez KO'd the Sandman, Willie Edwards, in the second round to retain the IBF light heavyweight title. Of course, I wouldn't call that. Anyway, it wasn't a great fight. And Willie Edwards, not the greatest fight in the world. Tucson, Arizona, Dennis Andrews knocked out Tony Willis on this day in 1989. And I was there. I'm going to tell you about this, okay? It was a nighttime fight. Emmanuel Stewart was there, and he's long passed. He's passed on, so I think I can say this. But anyway, I'm watching this fight, and I follow Tony Willis into the dressing room, okay? Because Tony Willis is trained by, I think Emmanuel Stewart was training him at the time. So I went, he was undefeated, he was a favorite coming in here. Dennis Andrews was considered an old man. Of course, we would find out that wasn't true. But anyway, Tony Willis came in here undefeated, but he was a cokehead. I didn't know he was a cokehead until we got into the dressing room. So we get into the dressing room post-fight, and this guy got all beat up, and I'm saying to myself, man, you're supposed to win. This ain't supposed to go down this way. I mean, in other words, when you look at something and you say, well, this is the way this painted wall is going to be after we paint it, and then it's different after the wall, you start scratching your head. Well, that's the way this was, because I couldn't figure out how this kid with all this ability lost to this so-called old man. Well, as I said, Dennis wasn't old. Anyway, Tony Willis, I go into the dressing room, and I'm watching him, and this and that. You know, I'm watching intense. I've been in the dressing room with a lot of guys post-fight, and it's pretty trippy because they're emotional. I mean, like, Lennox Lewis paces like a lion, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, okay, until he cools off. He's almost hyperventilating. Anyway, Tony Willis sat down on a stool in his corner, and he reached out into a sock, and I watched him pull out something from his sock, and I'm looking at it real close, and I'm saying to myself, you know, that looks like a little white plastic bag full of cocaine. And guess what? That's exactly what it was. A bag full of cocaine. In other words, Tony was such a coke freak that he couldn't leave his coke in the locker. He had to keep it in his sock. And if you think that's a lot, well, think about this. Remember Kid Akeem Antifashi? He lost a fight to Robert Kuroga back in 1995 or 1996, somewhere in Texas. Can't remember where the exact city was, but he got knocked out. He was in permanently injured from that fight. But when they went drug him back to the dress room and took off his cup, or in the ambulance, they found cocaine in his cup. So he was hiding cocaine in with his genitalia. I kid you not. What cocaine addicts won't do. I kid you not. And the last day, Harry Matthews, former light heavyweight champion, dies in Seattle on this day in 2003 at the age of 80. He could fight a little bit. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. That is our historian brought to you by Grandmaster Billow. Grandmaster Billow has celebrating being clean since December 5th, 2014. Of course, every day is a challenge, but like I say, Billow has a challenge in front of him, and I said to myself, Billow, if you can stay without drinking that long, I think I can go without drinking as well. And I'm not a big drinker. I had maybe one or two or three drinks a month, per se. But I haven't had a drink since June of 2019, and that has a lot to do with just living up and helping out Billow. Billow's a great example. He's my house historian, and we give him props, no doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking to the world of boxing MMA. Next up, WBC President Mauricio Sulaiman. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. It's Saturday night and I'm just hanging out, looking for a place to party. I jumped into my ride and I hit the road, cause there's only one place to go, down to the nightclub. To the nightclub, You can get what you want, you can know how to ride. To the nightclub, ooh, we be slick.
Now more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
24 minutes past the hour, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Hour number two, February 21st, 2021. We take it south of the border and bring in the WBC president, Mr. Mauricio Sulaiman, of course, the son of the great Don Jose Sulaiman. How are you, Mauricio?
Fine. Thank you so very much. And very happy to be once again here and excited to be part of this great program.
Okay. Exciting was last night. Oscar Valdez, of course, coming up with the knockout, of course, of the defending champion, Miguel Burchelt, coming in the 10th round, I believe. What a war, but afterwards, it was Mexican Civil War, this Battle of Sonora, no, Mexico, I think they both lived in Sonora, but afterwards, it almost made me cry when I saw the picture this morning, Mauricio, and I kid you not, because I do have a little bit of heart in me, I get a little soft, is I saw Oscar Valdez on his knees in front of Burchelt, who was sitting on the stool trying to collect his thoughts. And I thought that was the greatest picture I've ever seen in boxing. In boxing history, that's the greatest picture I've ever seen.
So humbling, so powerful message on how boxing is such a noble and humble sport. Every single fight, both fighters enter the ring and they pray that their opponent and themselves make it out of the ring with health, and they pray that that everything is good. And when the bell rings, when the fight is over, they both always go and hug each other and appreciate each other, recognize, and that's the beauty of this great sport. After hitting each other and being brutal, then from one second to the other, everything changes. And it is all praise and sportsmanship, and that's why I love the sport of boxing.
You my mother was my running coach, and she was the one that got me in shape. There's no doubt about it. I give her a lot of props. But after the fight, she would be talking with the other fighters' mothers. You know what I mean? There was like a camaraderie. It was a family. They sort of came together. I mean, before the fights, they would say good luck and that kind of good stuff. But afterwards, they were like family.
Yes, that's. And that's the way it is. The corners embrace themselves. They recognize each other. And it's a great sport. And I believe this is unique. This is something difficult to find when there's so much rivalry and when there's so much at stake, because you lose or you win. Yeah. And then you take it and move on and become better all the time.
Okay. What's new in the WBC?
Well, we have many things great things going. We had last night, which is a mandatory title defense by Burchelt.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, we have two mandatory fights. the flyweight champion Martinez against McWilliams Arroyo, who is a mandatory, and Canelo Alvarez against Avni Yildirim, who is a mandatory. Yildirim may not be known, but he has earned his right. He had a tremendous fight with Derrell. He was on the way to victory when the fight was stopped due to a cut, accidental headbutt. And he has been waiting for 2 years for this mandatory where he was appointed by the WBC. So it should be a great entertaining event in Miami. I'm flying out there Tuesday. I'm very excited about it. And then in March, we have Chocolatito against Estrada, another sensational fight. We have a few unification bouts on the line planned for the summer. The WBC is doing everything to try to unify and to get champions to have two, three, or the four belts so people can see undisputed champions.
Okay. I got to ask you, Canelo Alvarez, what does he mean to the Mexican people?
He is, without a doubt, the most popular fighter in Mexico today.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he's the force of boxing worldwide. He's a pound-for-pound king, and he's the driving force behind the sport of boxing. He means very much. He has always had some opposition, like everyone who is successful,
mm-hmm.
Since he's good-looking, and he became famous having a beautiful, famous girlfriend from television, so that brings envy. And people continue to always compare him to Chavez, compare him to Marquez, to the champions from the past, and they don't appreciate what he has done in the ring, but that's a small sector. In reality, he defeated Cotto, he defeated Triple G, he knocked out Kovalev in light heavyweight.
Yeah.
He's a fighter who has won the hearts of the people outside the ring. He's always willing to do charity work. He calls and helps kids who have specific needs. And what I most recognize and admire about Canelo Alvarez is his discipline and his work ethics. When you become multimillionaire, that comes with temptations, with fame, money, glory. And it is not easy. Like Marvin Hagler said, it is not easy to wake up in the morning when you have to do your road work, when you have silk pyjamas. So Canelo is a real force of the sport, and I'm very proud of him.
You know, TV girlfriends don't always work out for everybody. I'm proof of that. But I had a little run down there in Tijuana with a nice sports lady for about a couple years, and it didn't work out. I want to ask, your mother's still alive, right?
Yes, thank God she's still alive, and she's getting her vaccine this week.
Do you know how lucky you are, my brother? I mean, none of us have mothers anymore. In fact, when you told me you were going to spend Valentine's Day with your mom, I said, man, it sort of like brought a tear to my eye because I can't.
Yeah, mom, she's such a wonderful woman. She was so strong, to support my father. My father had to leave, constantly on trips to form what the WBC is today.
Mm-hmm.
When he became president in 1975, the WBC only had 23 countries affiliated. Today we have 168. And he did it by going and traveling the world. There was no fax, there was no internet, there was no cell phone, there was no social media. Everything had to be done face to face. And he worked so hard, and he always relied on my mom, who was our father and our mother at the same time. With six kids all alone doing all these problems with schools and with baseball and all this. And she's just a wonderful, wonderful woman who always opened her heart to the boxing community.
Well, lucky you can still talk about her in the present sense. Back to Canelo Alvarez, the good discipline you talked about. I'm not going to bring up names, but I can look back in history of some of the great Mexican fighters who lacked discipline, who had a few drinks or went in different directions and this and that and couldn't keep it together. How can this guy stay so focused? That's the question I have for you.
Well, it has to be something that it's very in himself. He comes from a boxing family, but none of his brothers really made it. They're a humble family, working family, a strong mother and father, and he's just obsessed with being the best. He had a wake-up call, which he really had complications when he lost to Floyd Mayweather. He thought he was going to be easily beating Mayweather, and he was the man of the moment. He was very young, and he got lost. He lost. And anyone at 21 would have simply have taken the $10 million he made on that fight and have gone on to be one of the many examples of the who could have been great. Instead, he learned from that fight. He focused, and he continued to train as hard as always, and he just simply is not involved in any sort of scandal. He's always watching for his weight, always training, and it's just a work ethic. I have never seen that before.
That's Mauricio. That's why I bring it up, is that it's so rare. I mean, I look back at times, and there are a couple of guys that I was around and worked with, great champions, and I say to myself, if they would have, towards the end of their career, if they would have only been a little bit more disciplined, they would have won that fight.
Yes, absolutely. Mike Tyson said, when somebody asked him, have you ever been afraid in the ring? And he said, oh yes, when you realize you are not in shape for a fight, and the other guy wants to punch your head off, that's when you really get afraid. And that happened to Mike Tyson and to many who are in there, and they did not do the preparation needed for a fight. And that's very easy. But Canelo, Hopkins, Mayweather, those are great examples of great work ethics.
The WBC saying, of course, my blood is green, my heart is gold. Talk to me about the WBC website, WBCboxing.com. What does it have there?
Well, it's a good platform. I'm very proud of our team. We have put together a team of social media that work with a good updating of the website. We have YouTube, which is some videos. We're trying to make a much better presence with videos. Of course, Facebook is very popular with the WBC. And we also have Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and
they're
LinkedIn.
All right, Mauricio, Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney, are they going to fight this year or what? What's going on?
Well, the thing is, that kind of fight is intended to take place when there's public, when there's fans in the arena.
I get
so
you.
Hopefully they will get to fight by the end of this year.
Fantastic. Outside of that, I want to wish you the very best. Nice, safe trip down there, of course, to Miami. And kiss your mother. You're such a... I'll go back to the mom thing, man. I'm very envious of you. In fact, all of us are. You still got your mom. Hug her, kiss her. You can never do it enough, Mauricio.
Thank you so much. And I will just do that because when you lose your parents, it's something that will never come back when you lose a loved one. And I'm going to go and give a big kiss to my mom and to my wife and my kids.
Because you know what? They say it gets easier with time. No, it doesn't get easier with time. You know what I'm talking about with Don Jose. I wish you the best. We'll talk real soon.
Take care, Pedro. Have a nice Sunday. Thanks so much.
The great Mauricio Sulaiman, president of the World Boxing Council on Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
You know, it's my theory that if Don King was born rich and white, he'd be Donald Trump. And if Donald Trump was born poor and black, he'd be Don King.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I guarantee you there's no problem.
Check it, 40 minutes past, 40 and a half minutes past the hour. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, hour number two of the Sunday show, of course. February 21st, 2021. I want to date today's show because the bottom line is you might be listening to this delayed via iTunes or Anchor.fm, all those different podcasts available. Bottom line is this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, the live edition, Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217, and like a thousand other internet platforms. The scores at the end of last night's fight, Oscar Valdez, of course, knocking out Miguel Burchout in a big upset. 3-1 were the odds. In fact, some of those, that was Bovada's odds were 3-1. But some of the other odds I was looking at were like 4.5, 4.5, 5-1. So you really got some weird prices last night on that last night's fight. Anyway, the scores were 89-80, 88-81, and 87-82, all for the winner, Mr. Oscar Valdez. Now, rising junior lightweight star Gabriel Flores Jr. was the winner last night, 20-0. Not a big puncher, though, even though he scored a six-round KO over former world title challenger Jason Velez. Velez drops to 29-8 with a draw on 21 wax, of course, who was the co-feature for Burchelt and Valdez last night, or Valdez and Burchelt. Bottom line is, it was inside the bubble. Time was 147, round number six. And Mr. Flores now 20-0 with seven KOs. I know he's stepping up in class, but you have to have more knockouts in order to prevail, I think, in the world of boxing than seven knockouts with 20 wins. It just doesn't work that way. I'm telling you. I mean, think of Josh Warrington last week getting lit up like the White House Christmas tree by that Mexican Lara. Okay. 25-1 underdog. Got lit up. Can't punch. I'll bring up Berry Gordy one more time. The president of Motown Records was a professional boxer in Detroit, trained by my good friend, the late Eddie Futch. Eddie Futch told him, "You will never win a world title, son, because you can't punch." Gordy was 13-2 fighting as a bantamweight, 13-2 with like 4 or 5 knockouts. He couldn't punch. If you can't punch, it's sort of like going to a gunfight with a knife. Or maybe going to a gunfight with a Derringer and the other guy's got like a 45. I mean, it's not going to be good for you. There's no doubt about that. And let's go back to Adrian Broner just for a second. Got to mention this, man, because it was such a stinker. Anyway, he should be arrested for impersonating a professional fighter. I've been saying that time and time again. Of course, embarrassing himself. Last night's purse, I guess, went to the girl that he owed like $650,000 to. Of course, he was the guy that paraded on Instagram and TikTok and all those different social media platforms. He had all these. He was bathing in $100 bills. It had to be like $200,000 or $300,000 worth of $100 bills on the bed next to him, right? And there's this girl that's got this $650,000 judgment against him for some alleged, for a sexual assault of some kind. And, she's got this judgment against him. So he's bathing all his money. Then he goes to court a week later and tells the judge he's only got like $1.39 to his name. I kid you not. Anyway, Adrian, they call him the prophet. I don't know. I call him the boner. Adrian the prophet Broner, 34-4-1, 24 KOs, 2 years off, comes back and wins a fight with poor guy, Giovanni Santiago. He was undefeated coming in. And you guys don't realize the significance of this. I mean, he came in undefeated and he won the fight. He won the fight. And what did they do? They screwed him. He landed 207 of 697 punches. That means he threw almost 700 punches over this 12-round fight. Okay. Mr. Broner threw 308 punches, of which he landed 98. And therefore, three judges came up with a score of 115-112, 116-111, and 117-111. In other words, that last one was like 8-3 as far as the rounds were concerned. And of course, it went with Adrian Broner. Now, how do you have a guy winning 8 rounds when he only lands 98 punches over 12 rounds and nobody got knocked down and nobody got hurt? Nobody, I mean, come on, man. Bottom line is that decision smells, no doubt about that. You know, and much like the young man from the Dominican Republic last week, of course, getting lit up like a White House Christmas tree, by Richard Comey. I mean, that was uncalled for because in his prior fight, he had beat the WBA 135-pound champion, Raleigh Romero, in Las Vegas. He beat him handily over 12 rounds. So what happened next time out? They screwed him out of the fight. He didn't get his title belt. He is a world champion. He goes home to the Dominican Republic. They tell him, guess what? We'll give you another fight in Las Vegas. So he says, oh, okay, I'll take it. They put him in with a killer. It was like a hired assassin. It was like they brought him. He was like a lamb being led to slaughter. I'm not trying to say he couldn't compete with Comey, but he couldn't compete with Comey. That power was just too much. I mean, that last right hand, Grandmaster Billow said he heard it on the couch down there in South San Francisco, and of course the fight, I think, was in Las Vegas. Ba-boom! Of course, no crowds. I mean, you can hear the punches land a little bit clearer. But I'm telling you, man, that was a knockout for the, it was a knockout that was unnecessary because he should have been defending a championship. But because of three inept judges, okay, he didn't defend his championship. He had to come back and fight for a lousy $25,000 or $30,000 and then get knocked out. So it's just not cool. Anyway, back to Broner, 34-4-1, kid from Cincinnati, Ohio. At one point in time, I saw him in the amateurs. I said to him, somebody sent me a tape. So what do you think of this kid? He's from Cincinnati. I said, you know, he's got some abilities. He looks pretty good. I don't know if he's an Aaron Pryor or something like that, but you know, he's going to be, obviously, Cincinnati's next star. Well, he's turned out to be Cincinnati's next star and not the best way. Anyway, on the undercard of the Broner, Otto Wayland, remember him? I think he fought Tyson Fury for the World Heavyweight Championship. Did okay. I think he even cut Fury, but he was winner last night, 22-1, 14 wax. He took out Dominic Brazil. It was a 12-round decision. The scores were 116-112, which means 8-4 in rounds. 117-111, 8-3 in rounds, and 118-110, that means 10-2 in rounds. And former IBF lightweight champion Robert Easter, 23-1 with a win draw and 14 KOs, an uneventful 12 rounds unanimous winner over Ryan Martin. When the reporter says it's uneventful, I guess it means it sort of sucked. Anyway, it was a super lightweight bout. The scores were 117-111, 118-110, and 118-110. I'm going to laugh about that. February 27th, of course, Canelo Alvarez, pound for pound, you heard Mauricio say, he's without a doubt boxing's king. I mean, there is no doubt about it. And as I said, he continues to impress me because, I mean, I didn't want to bring it up with Mr. Suleiman on the phone, but Julio Cesar Chavez Sr., he had cocaine problems. He admitted it. I saw some big documentary on him. It was in Spanish, and I had to have somebody sit next to me because my Spanish is not all that good. Anyway, if poor at best. Anyway, bottom line is they explained the entire documentary to me. And, of course, he was talking about going in his room and staying in his room for days at a time snorting cocaine. I'm talking about Julio Cesar Chavez Sr., of course. Then he gets clean. It took a long time. He starts some rehab centers, isn't that? And then guess who gets hooked on blow? Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. That's right, Jr. gets hooked on blow. So he's got to go to dad's rehabs, not once, but twice. At the end of the day, I think Chavez Jr. is a loser. But, you know, the pressure's on the kid. I mean, think about this. Here you have a legendary father, and you've got to be better than him. I mean, I just don't, you know, it's be the same as him. I mean, it's just not happening. I mean, with the exception of the rule, it usually goes the other way. I mean, Floyd Mayweather Sr., he couldn't fight all that well. Ray Lander beat the snot out of him. It was pretty one-sided. I mean, he wasn't all that much of a fighter, Floyd Mayweather Sr., but yet Floyd Mayweather Jr., some people consider him, and those of you that consider him this, of course, you and I disagree, but you consider him like the greatest fighter of all time. The greatest boxer of all time. Makes me want to puke. I mean, I just don't see it in Floyd. I mean, Floyd, you know, I don't want to harken back to that old line, but, you know, if he was in pornography, there would be no money shots in the movies. You hear where I'm coming from? Because, you know, he would promise knockout after knockout after knockout. I'm going to destroy this guy. I'm going to knock out this guy. This guy won't last three rounds with me. Bottom line is everybody goes 12 rounds with him. And they're uneventful 12 rounders. In other words, if you've seen one Mayweather round, you've seen them all. So why do you want to see Mayweather anymore? They want to talk. He's talking about coming back, maybe doing an exhibition against 50 Cent, maybe Scott Cuddy, or that's what he's doing. He wants to, you know, I mean, his name, I didn't think his reputation was all that great to begin with, but in the minds of his fans, he's a boxing god. I kid you not. It almost makes me sick because I think he's perpetrated the greatest fraud on the American public or the boxing world at large since Paul Newman and Robert Redford started that movie in 1972. It was called The Sting. And that was all about being a con. And I think that Floyd Mayweather is the greatest con of all time when it comes to boxing. Now, some of you may disagree with me, and I'll probably get all kinds of nasty texts and email. If you want to text me, you can. The phone number is 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. So Otto Wayland, keep an eye on that guy. He's a rough, tough dude, and I think he can upset anybody. He gave Tyson Fury a good run. But at heavyweight, he's a bit rugged, a bit limited as far as his overall skills concerned, but I think he works double hard, and that's going to rock for him. February 27th, Canelo Alvarez, of course, taking on Avni Yildirim. I think he's from, I know he's from Iran. He's a reputable fighter, a good fighter. WBC and WBA super middleweight titles on the line. On the co-feature, Julio Cesar Martinez will take on McWilliams Arroyo. Of course, that was a WBC flyweight title that Mr. Rasulaman spoke about a bit ago. Of course, also on that same day on the Zone, guess who's going to rock? Joseph Parker. If ever there was a guy that didn't fight like a Samoan, it's Joseph Parker. He fights like a wuss. I mean, here's a heavyweight Samoan that fights not macho-like. It's not the most macho guy in the world. Yeah, if you're a Samoan guy, you should be going out there and laying people out. That's the way Samoans fight. They lead people out. They don't go 12 boring, boring, boring rounds. Samoan people are known for knocking people out. That's why when we rumble with them here in the gym, everybody knows what I'm talking about here. Hector, you know what I'm talking about, is that we would let these guys do their thing in the first round. I mean, let them throw a whole lot of punches. Usually keep your arms in tight. Those block their shots, this and that. And then you come back in the second round, it's like a fight with a different guy because they throw their shots. Sonny Napopo, he was one of those guys, from a Samoan guy from Newman's Gym, used to throw his shots in the first round, throw his wad in the first round, the second, third round. He was nothing as far as sparring was concerned. Anyway, Joseph Parker, former WBO title holder, taking on Junior Fa. Junior Fa is a Samoan of cat. It was a battle of Samoan and New Zealand. Samoan, New Zealand, sort of like South San Francisco, San Francisco, real close to each other. Anyway, bottom line is Parker's from New Zealand. Junior Fa, I think, is from Samoa. Bottom line is they're going to hook it up in this heavyweight bout February 27th on the Zone. Also on February 27th on Fox Sports, they're going to come up with Anthony Durrell and Kyrone Davis. I didn't know that Anthony Durrell was still fighting, but more power to Anthony Durrell. I think with the Durrell brothers, of course, they were given the pass. Who was it? Andre was given the pass because this is what happened. Andre Ward, the eventual gold medalist in 2004, of course, undefeated world champion, retired, headed for the Hall of Fame now with the ESPN boxing team. But in 2004, he wanted to fight in the Olympics with his buddy Andre Durrell. So he wanted Andre to be in the Olympics as well. So Andre Ward could have won easily at 168 pounds. Instead, he fought at 178 pounds. He put on another 13 pounds, actually not in weight, but he fought opponents who were 13 pounds heavier than him naturally in order to give Durrell the shot at the Olympic gold medal. Durrell didn't get it, but Andre Ward did. And of course, when Ward beat that guy, and beat the guy, I think it was a Polish guy, he beat him like he was 15 pounds heavier. Obviously, there was a size discrepancy in the ring. I remember Gary Radnich on Channel 4, he brought me on TV here in San Francisco, and when I told him that Andre Ward was going to win the gold medal beforehand, he told me on the radio that I was shilling for the hometown guy. Be serious. Have any of you known me to ever shill for the hometown guy? That doesn't happen. In fact, I'm usually harder on the hometown guy than I am on because you have to be, because it's hard to strike the media in the middle. In other words, you got the hometown guy, you want to give him some props, and you have to be honest at the same time. So it's sort of like a tough road to cut there in the media, in the middle, no doubt about that. But anyway, February 27th, Canelo going to hook it up with Mr. Yujim, of course, coming to us from Iran. Is this going to be a big upset? Hell no. Canelo Alvarez is going to smoke him like a blunt. I just will. February 27th, they sent Durrell and Davis. As far as Durrell's concerned, he's seen better days. His brother, I think, was hurt in the ring, and probably he should give it up, too. Because, I'm going to tell you, people laugh at this, and they say, what's one more fight? I have fans tell me that all the time, is so-and-so going to fight again? I say to them, let so-and-so retire. He's had enough. Oh, what's one more fight? Well, they don't see these guys at boxer conventions and these reunions and that kind of good stuff, like 10 or 15 years later when you got to lead guys around by the hand. Okay, or you got to tell them when to stand up and bow. Hey, guess what? They're talking about you right now, champ. Stand up so they know you. Stand up and wait to the crowd. You know how many events I've been to when they had to get guys to stand up and wait to the crowd? They had to tell them they didn't know I was talking about them? That ain't cool. That's why I'm down for 12-round fights, and I'm down for fights that once they're competitive, you stop them. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
William Smokey Robinson turned 81 years old yesterday. I shared the stage with him, I think it was 1978 at the Circle Star Theater when he called me up there. Said I was the best, listen, when he tells 4,000 people this is the best dressed man in the building and he brings me up on stage with him to dance a couple songs with his backup singers, you know I had it going on. No doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. I'm modest. You know that. Your inside look at the world of boxing, MMA. Dillian White. Him and, of course, Alexander Povetkin will hook it up in their rematch. Of course, it's going to go March 27th. Man, I can't wait for this to happen. I hope that Dillian White and Alexander Povetkin, that the same thing happens the second time it happened the first time. Povetkin hit him with that right uppercut. Banger, that left uppercut, I can't remember which it was, but just knocked him for another world. I mean, bottom line is, I'm not a big fan of Dillian White, but Alexander Povetkin, he's an overachiever, and I like him. Anyway, you have been tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. I want to thank my guests. I got to go down my list of guests here. Of course, we had Dr. Netanseti, of course, our brain doctor, and I'm going to thank him every time he comes on. He brings us some education in the world of neurology and brains, that kind of good stuff, and boxing. I want to thank Kenny Rainford, of course, the UK whiz that we've got, the Raincast. I want to thank Coach John Johnson, Oscar Valdez. Congratulations, of course, the president of the World Boxing Council, Mr. Mauricio Suleiman. Of course, you can always check up on the WBC and the World Boxing Council by checking out their website, WBCBoxing.com. My name is Pedro Fernandez. I'm supposed to say hi to Miss Vega, so I just said hi, Miss Vega. Outside of that, it's been a great show. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget, Ring Talk Live Worldwide here Saturday and Sunday live at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 217, and about 1,000 other internet platforms. Until next time, peace, love, and a ton of respect. Thank you for listening to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.